Let's talk about these human enhancements that the military is undertaking. What's out there?
Well, what's interesting when you're looking at the future of human enhancement of radical evolution is that there are four technologies that I call the GRIN technologies, all of which are accelerating at an exponential pace. These are the genetic, robotic, information, and nanotechnologies. An example of one of these was actually at the beginning of this decade, they created the world's at DARPA, the military created the world's first telekinetic monkey, a monkey that could move objects long distance with her thoughts. Would you like to know how you make a monkey telekinetic?
I would love to know how you make a monkey telekinetic.
Well, this is at Duke University, and a little owl monkey named Belle, cute little monkey, very smart. And the first thing they did was they got her hooked on computer games. She had a joystick, and she had a screen in front of her. And if she could make the joystick hit a flashing light on the screen, she'd get a drop of juice.
Ah.
But it became real clear, real fast, that she's a smart monkey. She almost cared about the juice at it. Right, she got hooked on the computer game. And as soon as that happened, they drilled a hole in her head.
Oh, and that's her reward, right?
That's her reward. And they took an object, took a device about the size of a baby aspirin, out of which was coming hundreds of superfine wires, and they put her in her motor cortex, which is where you plan muscle movements. And the point of these little wires was to line up with individual neurons, so that when a neuron fired in the brain, the wire could pick it up and feed it to a computer.
Amazing.
Right? So then they sealed her up, and they turned on the computer game again, and she was playing it, and they're watching the patterns on the screen of what's going on in her brain. And as soon as they think they figured out what neurons are associated with what muscle movement, they then do the deed. They disconnect her joystick. So there's nothing that she can do with her arm to control this game, but she pretty soon figures out that all she has to do is think about it, and she can move the cursor and win the game. Then to be cool about it, they put her brain signal up on the internet and piped it to MIT, 600 miles north, where there was a robotic arm. And just using the signals from her brain, the robotic arm began to dance in exactly the fashion that her arm would have been moving had she been using her arm to play the game.
Jeez.
And now I submit to you that if you've got a monkey who can control a robotic arm 600 miles away with her thoughts, what you've got is a telekinetic monkey. But the obvious question is, why? Why would you want to do this to a monkey? And that's where the military comes in.
Uh-huh.
It turns out that an F-35 jet fighter is an extremely complicated aircraft to fly with a joystick. And the military is thinking, wouldn't it be much better if you could just control this jet with your thoughts, and it would fly where you wanted it to go? And they say, suppose it would be even better if whatever that the airplane was sensing, speed, incoming weapons, whatever, suppose you could pipe that directly into your brain, bypassing keyboards and screens, so that you had a complete mind-machine interface. That's the official reason why they're drilling holes in monkeys' heads. But as usual, there's two reasons. There's the official reason, and then there's the real reason. And in this case, the real reason was that this portion of DARPA that was doing this was run by a guy named Michael Goldblatt. And Michael has a daughter named Gina Marie. Gina Marie is a very talented and successful young lady, graduated from the University of Arizona, and she has cerebral palsy. So she's supposed to spend the rest of her life in a wheelchair. Well, Michael, her father, is way up front about the fact that he spent God only knows how many of your millions of your taxpayers' dollars. Because if you can control machines with your thoughts, in principle, there's no reason why those machines couldn't be in Gina Marie's legs. And so Michael has spent all this money to get his daughter to get out of that wheelchair and stand up and walk. And so there are implications for all of these military technologies about how what's something that's originally designed for the battle space can transform what it means to be human and transform radical evolution.
Joel, remember It's a Good Life in the Twilight Zone? Our friend Billy Mumy, who is a regular guest here on the program, pops in and out, played little Anthony Fremont. the little boy who could just think thoughts, and that's what would happen to you. Mm-hmm. He could turn you into a puppet. He can turn you into the, he sends you out into the cornfield. He could do whatever he wanted with his brain. What happens if this technology gets so good, this human enhancement, and people just can't control your thoughts? I mean, have you ever been mad enough that you said to yourself, God, I could kill that guy? Now, you know you wouldn't go through with it, but you've thought about it. What would happen under this scenario? Something might, you know, you might blow the guy up.
There's nothing like that on the horizon, in the current technology. But what Mattel did bring out this Christmas, the toy company, they brought out the first toy that used mind-machine interface technology. You put on a headset with a little device that rested on your forehead, and it picked up like an electroencephalograph. It picked up the your brain waves, and if you concentrated, it allowed you to levitate a ping pong ball. One of the questions I had is, who would want to buy this toy? And I was talking to my daughter about this, and she says, "Oh, this is going to be the biggest thing to hit college since the Frisbee."
Jeez.
Because this is going to transform beer pong. But but more seriously, when you look out at the future of these human enhancement technologies, and you ask, I mean, I don't really care about the technologies. I don't care about boys and their toys. I care about culture and values and what this means to our society. And when you ask people, you know, where is this taking us? The answer, you get three scenarios: heaven, hell, and prevail. In the heaven scenario, what happens is these GRIN technologies, genetics, robotics, information, and nanotechnologies, rapidly accelerate, and you conquer pain, suffering, stupidity, ignorance, and even death. And in the next 20, 30, 40 years.
And it all sounds good.
And it all sounds great. That's the heaven scenario. And it's an incredible scenario. It could happen. You pick up the paper, you see amazing advances every day. But that's only one scenario. There's also the mirror opposite, which is the hell scenario, in which, you know, imagine if these technologies end up in the hands of madmen or fools.
Mm, exactly.
And in the hell scenario, it's a credible possibility that you could, you know, imagine wiping out the human race in the next 20 years. And that's the optimistic version. The pessimistic version is the one where you can imagine wiping out of all of life on Earth. But it's a credible scenario, but it's only one. Both heaven and hell are techno-deterministic, meaning that they are both driven by how fast we can get transistors to talk to each other and computers to accelerate, thereby driving genetics and nanotechnology and all the rest. So there's a third scenario, which is prevail, which is the humanistic scenario, and that's the one that I'm pulling for as a humanist. I'm not predicting it, but I am pulling for it. Because prevail is based on the notion that maybe what matters in the future is not how many transistors you can get to talk to each other. Maybe it's how many ornery, cussed, unpredictable, imaginative humans you can get to talk to each other. And the Prevail Project is something that I'm starting at Arizona State University to try to accelerate that third scenario coming into being.